الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected علماء، brothers and sisters in Islam, and very dear students of Riyadhul Ulum and Riyadhul Quran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is very unfortunate that in this day and age, enrolling in a madrasa, attending madrasa, has become a mere custom and tradition. The students who enroll at the madrasa, who daily attend madrasa, who prepare their lessons, who learn their lessons, who read their lessons, are not fully aware of the value of the knowledge that is being imparted to them. They are not fully aware of the objective in their attending madrasa. They do not realize what their value is in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has become a mere custom, mere tradition. Then at the age of 4, at the age of 5, a student is granted admission into a madrasa. And he follows a certain syllabus without any concern or any input or any interest from the parents, except in remote cases. And he will continue to go to madrasa until he reaches the age of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, whenever he decides to leave madrasa. No discussion takes place between the children and the parents as to whether it is the right time to leave the madrasa, whether the child has acquired what he or she was supposed to have acquired during its stay in the madrasa. Without any consultation with the principal, with the head teacher, with the teachers, sometimes the parents and the children together take the decision. Sometimes only the parents, sometimes only the children, and that is the end of madrasa. And after leaving madrasa, at the age of 12, 14, 16, whatever it may be, there is no connection whatsoever with madrasa, with the knowledge and education that was imparted in the madrasa, with the teachers, with anything that was taught to them. All this is happening because the students don't realize the value of this ilm, the value of this knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is in Ghari Hira, the cave of Hira. And the first verses of the last revelation is revealed to him. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم اقرأ read بسم ربك in the name of your Rabb الذي خلق who has created everything. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of thy Rabb, who has created everything. خلق الإنسان من علق, who has created the insan, the human, from a clot of blood. اقرأ, read. وربك الأكرم, and your Rabb is very, very generous. الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمْ, who has taught through the means of the pen, who has granted ilm through the pen, who has granted knowledge through the pen, who has educated the human through the means of the pen. الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمْ علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. He who has taught the human what he knew not. These are the first verses of the ultimate book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorious Quran.
It does not discuss salat. It does not make any mention of zakah. There is no mention of hajj. There is no mention of sawm. Iqra, it begins with the order iqra, read. Iqra, read. When a child goes to the madrasa, what is the first thing that he hears from his ustad? Read, padiye. Iqra, read. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is in this case the student, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the muallim, the mudarris, the ustad and the teacher. The very first contact that is made through the wahi by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his final messenger is through the word iqra, read. It's as if a lesson is being imparted. And not as if. In reality, a lesson is being imparted. This was the first lesson from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iqra, read. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who has created everything. Alladhi khalaqal insana min alaq. Who has created the human from the clot of blood. Iqra, read. Again, instruction. Again, education. Iqra, read. Wa rabbuka al-akram. Your Rabb is very, very generous. Alladhi allam. One who has granted ilm. One who has taught. One who has educated. Bil qalam, through the pen. There are so many things we do in this world. So many things we endeavor to acquire. And for everything we do, for everything we endeavor to acquire, there are means and resources. One of the things that we endeavor to acquire, one of the things we do is to learn, acquire ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these very first verses of the Quran has not mentioned resources or means for anything else that we do in this world or try to acquire in this world. Allah has mentioned only one means, one resource, that is the pen. And through the pen, a person acquires ilm. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi allam, the one who has taught, the one who is the muallim, the one who has granted ilm, bil qalam, through the pen. Allam al-insana ma lam ya'lam. From beginning till end, iqra, iqra, read, read. Allam, who has educated, who has granted ilm, bil qalam, through the pen. Allam, who has granted ilm, ma lam ya'lam, that ilm which the human did not have. Ilm, 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 in the very first verses of the glorious Quran. One can understand the importance of ilm. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentions in a hadith that in the 23 years that I have lived in this world as a Nabi, anything that was going to bring my ummah nearer to Jannah, I have informed them of that item. And anything that was to take them far away from Jahannam, I have informed them of that item. I have explained everything to them. Do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Do this because it will take you nearer to Jannah. Don't do this because if you follow my instruction and if you abstain, it will take you far away from Jahannam. There were so many things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has discussed in 23 years. The whole package is known as ilm. Hadith is ilm. Quran is ilm. Sharia is ilm. All the do's and the don'ts, ilm. If you do this, you will get this, ilm. If you don't do this, you will be questioned, ilm. Deen is ilm, ilm is deen. Without ilm, a person is unable to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person is following the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means he has the ilm of the whole of Sharia. Ilm is deen, deen is ilm. Deen is no deen without ilm. Ilm cannot be detached from deen. The whole package, and there are so many things that a person has to do, so many important things, so many virtuous things. Performing tahajjud, performing umrah, tawaf, hajj, serving the parents, looking after the orphans. This is all ilm. But in the very first verses of the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again mentions ilm, 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 ilm. Why? Because ilm is the door through which a person is able to understand the whole package of Sharia. A person can only become successful in this world and the hereafter. A person can only become successful in his individual life or in collective life, in his personal life, in his public life. A person can only acquire success if he follows the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person can only follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he has ilm. So ilm is the door to following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the door to success of both worlds. So ilm is the success of both the worlds. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ilm, 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 ilm. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, إِنَّمَا بُعِسْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I have been sent into this world by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a mu'allim. I have been sent as a teacher. My full-time occupation, my full-time job is to teach, is education. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Allah has taught you what you knew not. Now what Allah has taught you, you teach the ummah. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I have been sent only as a muallim. There is a lot of emphasis in this sentence. Those people who know the Arabic language can understand. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلِيهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. What were the responsibilities of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was the occupation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? With what work did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah very clearly defines the work of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this verse. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored the mu'mineen. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has favored the mu'mineen, the believers. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ. When He sent amongst them a Rasul, izba'atha fihim Rasulam min anfusihim, when he sent amongst them a Rasul from their kind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send an angel as a Rasul, because it would have been very, very difficult to grasp and to digest the message that would come from another kind. If an angel was to come into this world as a Nabi, and if he was to say, perform 5 times Salat regularly, we would have said, it's very easy for you. You don't feel hungry, so you don't eat. You don't eat because you don't feel hungry. You don't drink because you don't feel thirsty. You don't have children, you don't have wife. So performing 5 times Salat is very easy for you. It's not easy for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always sent Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam from our kind, so that he can come into this world, and before conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can practically carry out that message. Before he says to the ummah that perform 5 times salat regularly, he himself performs 5 times salat regularly. And he continues to do so, and thereafter he says, perform 5 times salat regularly. I am a human like you. I feel hungry, I feel thirsty, I have to earn for my livelihood. I have to look after my children, I have to look after my family, I have to sleep, I have all the needs that you have. There is no difference between you and me. If I am able to perform 5 times salat regularly, why can't you? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a good example for you. If he is able to do all these things whilst he is a human, why can't you do it? Why is it impossible for you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has sent a messenger from amongst your kind. It was very easy to grasp the message. It was very easy to communicate. There was no communication gap, and it was very easy to digest and understand the message. And what is his job? What is the job? What is the occupation of this Nabi? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. He recites to you the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recites to you the Quran. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. Because that was the first command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iqra, read. So he recites the verses of the Quran to you. Wa yuzakkihim. And he purifies your soul. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And he teaches you the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he teaches you hikmah, which is the commentary of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is his hadith. So the Nabi comes into this world as a teacher. Yatlu alihim ayatihi, he recites the verses of the Quran, wa yuallimuhumul kitab wal hikmah, and he teaches the kitab, the Quran, wal hikmah, and the ahadith, the sunnah, which is the tafsir for the Quran. And he does not only teach, wa yuzakkihim, he is also responsible for your tarbiyah. So for this ummah, from amongst the humans, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the first muallim. And the Sahaba-i-Kiram rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in are the first students. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a muallim. Muallim, teacher. And he teaches what? Kitab hikmah. He teaches kitab hikmah. He teaches the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commentary of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he teaches Sharia. And whilst teaching Sharia, he is also responsible for the tarbiyah of his students. Wa yuzakkihim. Wa yuzakkihim. Innama buistu muallima. I have been sent as a muallim. So my responsibility number one is to teach. And responsibility number two is to do tarbiyah. Tarbiyah to motivate my students to practice what I teach. Innama bu'istu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq. Wa yuzakkihim. Innama bu'istu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq. My responsibility is not only ta'aleem. My responsibility is tarbiyah also. As far as ta'aleem is concerned, ta'aleem, then my muallim cannot be a human, because muallim will always be superior to the student. So I am the most superior in the humankind. So who is my teacher? Allahu allamaka ma lam takun ta'lam. And because I am the most virtuous, nobody can do my tarbiyah from the humans. So who is my murabbi? أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. Allah is my murabbi. So Allah is my muallim, Allah is my murabbi. And I am muallim and murabbi of the first group of this ummah. That is the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jamayin. So the class, this class of the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jamayin began with iqra. Just as when a child goes to the madrasa, the teacher says, padiye, read, read, iqra. It started with iqra. Ta'aleem continued. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being taught by Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching the sahaba. Tarbiyah continued, tazkiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's murabbi, his muzakki, and his shaykh was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did his tarbiyah. Allah granted him knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the murabbi, the muallim, the muzakki, and the shaykh for the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain. He left no stone unturned in this occupation of his, this engagement of his. His whole life was nothing but talim tarbiyah, talim tarbiyah, talim tarbiyah, talim, whole life. Talim tarbiyah, talim tarbiyah. It is for this reason the muhaddithin have concluded, and it is the ijma and the unanimity of all the muhaddithin and all the ulama of this ummah, that anything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is hadith. Anything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did is hadith. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a particular person doing something and he remained quiet, then that action of that particular person who was observed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam silently is also hadith. Because if the action of that particular person was something wrong, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have remained quiet. So the muhaddithin have concluded that every movement, every motion, every second of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but hadith. His sleeping is hadith. If he is sleeping and the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain explain a particular posture of his sleep, that also becomes sunnah. His walking is hadith. His talking is hadith. He is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not make a mistake. He cannot make a mistake. Because everything he does, everything he says, he speaks, he remains quiet, that is law. That is authority through which people will substantiate until the day of Qiyamah. That this is farz, this is wajib, this is sunnah, this is lawful, this is unlawful because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this and because he did not do this. It is for this reason when Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to write the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith was compiled in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in writing form also. So some Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that you have some papers in your hand, a pen, and whatever you hear from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you immediately jot it down. Don't do that. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human. And every human is emotional. Sometimes a person is overcome with happiness. Sometimes a person is overcome with grief. And sometimes a person is overcome with anger. And when a person is overcome with happiness, with grief or with anger, then he makes a mistake. He says something that he should not be saying. So, don't write everything. Write only when he is in a serious mood. Don't write everything. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I write everything that you say. Some of my friends are advising me that you are a human, you are a bashar, and you are also overcome with emotions in happiness, in grief, in anger. So I should not write down everything because I may write down something that you do not want me to write down. That may not be a law. That may not be a principle. That may not be authority. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uktub ya Abdullah. O Abdullah, you continue to write. Continue to write everything. فَإِنِّي لَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقَّ. Because in every condition, only haq and truth emanates from this tongue. Even when I am angry, even when I am in grief, even when I am happy, I am not overcome by emotions like other humans. Allah protects me. Because whatever I say, that is law, that is rule, that is principle. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left no stone unturned. Every moment of his life was teaching. To the extent that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to joke with some of his companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he used to joke. He was humorous. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Quran says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, you have become very soft towards them. Your softness is because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. If you were harsh, and if you were hard-hearted, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Then the Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in would not have been able to remain in your company. A person is very harsh, very hard-hearted. People would not sit around him. And if the people were unable to sit around you, how would they take the ilm from you? Because you are the first muallim, you are the connection between the people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was humorous. And he used to joke with the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan nughair. Ya Aba Umair. There was a young boy, he had a pet bird. And he was very much attached to this bird. And this bird died. So he was in a lot of grief. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know of this, and when he saw this young boy in grief because his pet to which he was very much attached had died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joked with him and he said, Ya Aba Umair, O Abu Umair, O the father of Umair, just to make him laugh, Ya Aba Umair, O the father, he was a young child, Ya Aba Umair, O Abu Umair, Ma fa'alan Nughair, what happened to Nughair? Nughair was the name of the bird. What happened to Nughair? Just to make him laugh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you just hear this story, it's a humorous statement.
Ya Abu Umair, ma fa'alan Nughair? Oh Abu Umair, what happened to your bird Nughair? The ulama have dived into the ocean of knowledge. Ocean of knowledge that lie within this humorous statement and have deduced dozens of masail. Dozens of Islamic ruling only from this statement. Ya Abu Umair, ma fa'alan Nughair? Everything he did was talim, 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 and with talim tarbiyah, with talim tarbiyah, with talim tarbiyah. Whenever he used to see something wrong, in a very nice manner, he used to do tarbiyah, he used to motivate the people to think correctly, encourage the people to go in the right direction. A Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala who came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was a sick person. His sickness was adultery and fornication. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if somebody wanted to commit adultery or fornication with your sister, how would you feel? So he said, no, I would not tolerate that. If somebody wanted to do the same thing to your daughter, how would you feel? He said, no, it's unbearable. With your mother, with your sister. See, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only teach him that zina, adultery, fornication is haram, and that is my responsibility, finish now. It is for this reason, my very dear students, at the Islamic Dawah Academy, we are following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or at least we are trying to. With ta'aleem, there has to be tarbiyah. You should be grateful to your teachers for spending time, for exerting energy and effort behind you. They also have so many things to do. They also wish that at 7:30 they are able to go home straight away. They have families, they have children. They also like to live a stress-free life. Students come, go away. What they do at home, what they do in school, what they do in their own time, we not bother. A carefree attitude. Nobody likes stress. But they take all the stress. They worry. They bring cases to me. We sit down and discuss things for minutes. How can we rectify this bad habit of the student? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not think to himself that this sahabi, this student of mine already knows that adultery is haram, fornication is haram. So, why bother? It's up to him now. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now doing tarbiyah, after talim tarbiyah. Your daughter, your sister, your mother, how would you have felt? He said, unbearable, I would not tolerate anybody committing adultery or fornication with my wife. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you intend to commit adultery or fornication with anybody, then you should know that that lady is also somebody's sister. She is also somebody's daughter. She is also somebody's wife, maybe somebody's mother. At least sister is definite or daughter is definite. Tarbiyah. And with tarbiyah, so much concern. These are the responsibilities of the muallimin, of the teachers and of the asatida, that they should worry about the ta'aleem of their students and tarbiyah also. They should leave no stone unturned in this matter. Ta'aleem and tarbiyah. Not only did he counsel him, with the counsel he made dua for him. Allahumma tahir qalba wa asin faraja. Allahu Akbar. This person who had the habit of committing adultery and fornication, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this illness that I can't stop myself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he counseled him. And after counseling him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his right hand on his heart. And he said, Allahumma tahhir qalbah wa ahsin faraja. Oh Allah, purify his heart. And oh Allah, safeguard him from this illness of adultery and fornication. What does the Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala say?
The Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that after this counseling and this prayer from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the thought of adultery and fornication did not cross my mind throughout my life. He left no stone unturned. And the Sahaba-i Kiram, Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, the first teachers, the first students, they left no stone unturned in learning. And not only learning, but also tarbiyah. That is why the Sahabi came with this complaint that, O Messenger of Allah, I have this problem. Nowadays, our problem is that we never take our problem to our superiors, who may be able to guide us, support us, purify us through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are caught, then we lie. We do not try to take the assistance or the help that is coming towards us. If we are caught making a mistake, and if this news reaches our parents or our teachers or our superiors, this is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes you stop immediately. It is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be grateful to Allah. And utilize this opportunity. The Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. A lady committed adultery. Nobody knew. She came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, O Messenger of Allah, I have committed adultery, purify me before I go into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They left no stone unturned in acquiring ilm. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, how great a companion. What does he say? He says that I used to live on the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. And there was another sahabi with me, Itban ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We had farms to look after, date orchards to look after. We all have our worldly commitments. So it was not possible for us to go to Medina Munawwara, into the center of Medina Munawwara, and spend time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and acquire ilm. Because every day there was ilm. That was the only engagement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battlefield, ilm. In the battlefield, this masala, that masala, this ruling, that ruling. On every step, ilm. And the Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in did not ignore. No, they were making notes. They were remembering because Allah had granted them photographic memory. Because they were the ones to pass on this ilm to the coming generations. So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, that I and Itban ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had become partners. One day I used to reach Medina Munawwara for Fajr prayer. And from Fajr till the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam retiring to bed, I would stay in Medina Munawwara. And I would try to learn everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying and doing. And Itman ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would look after his farm and my farm. And when I used to reach, Itman ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would be waiting for me, or he used to go to sleep if I was late. I would knock on his door. If he is awake, he would come out straight away. If he is asleep, he would wake up and come out. And he would sit in front of me and I would narrate to him all that I had learned during the day. And the following day, he would go to Medina Munawwara and I would look after the farms. They left no stone unturned in ta'aleem, in tarbiyah. Everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did, was preserved. Preserved so much so that his humorous statements were also preserved. So the muallim and murabbi is doing all his best. And those who have come for ilm and who have come for tarbiyah, they are doing their best. And this continued for 23 years. And before the departure of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the result of this madrasa? How was the ta'lim and how was the tarbiyah?
What was the result of this teacher? How was his performance in his job? And what was the performance of the students before him departing from this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is happy with the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi. Ulaika humul faizun, they are successful. Ulaika humul muflihun, they are successful. Faiz, who is faiz? Faiz is the one who comes first in a competition. So Allah says, Ulaika humul muflihun, the group of sahaba are successful. This is the result. Ulaika humul faizun, these are the ones who are right at the front, right at the top. حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانُ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the result of the performance of the muallim and also the performance of the teachers, of the students. And then this continued. The sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in became muallim, murabbi, shaykh. The tabi'in became the seekers of knowledge, the seekers of tarbiyah, the seekers of tazkiyah. The sahaba did their job, they departed from this world. The tabi'in continued, the taba tabi'in continued. And this chain continues till today. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ulama, one generation of ulama have learned from the previous generation. And this generation that have learned from the previous generation are exerting every effort to pass on to the next generation before they can depart from this world. Ta'lim is there, tarbiyah is there, tazkiyah is there. And what we need to do as individuals of the ummah, those who are studying in madaris, those who are working in factories, those who are running their own businesses, those who are studying in universities, in colleges, every individual of the ummah, the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, were occupied. Some of them were laborers, some of them were tradesmen, some of them were farmers. But each and every one was talibul ilm. Each and every person was exerting effort in acquiring ilm, in acquiring tarbiyah, in acquiring tazkiyah, purification of the heart, so that they could become a good Muslim. This is what we need to do, my friends. Each and every one of us, my sisters, each and every one of us, we need to learn as much as possible. Learn. We need to create this thirst within ourselves. Thirst. I want more, I want more, I want more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, there is no one more knowledgeable than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most knowledgeable is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Utitu ilm al-awwaleen wal-akhireen." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me the ilm of the people before me and the ilm of the people after me. That means if the ilm of the people before me and if the ilm of the people after me was put together, was accumulated, and if it was weighed against my ilm will outweigh all the ilm. That is how much ilm Allah has granted me. Utitu ilm al-awwaleen wal-akhireen. But despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to teach the ummah that there is no end to acquiring ilm, He orders the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my messenger, waqul rabbi zidni ilma. O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you raise your hands in prayer, then you should also say, O Allah, increase my knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma. Rabbi zidni ilma. There is no end. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, in his old age, was seen carrying exercise books, carrying papers, and inkpot and a pen. In those days, people used to carry inkpots and write with the handmade pen. So somebody said, Ela Matai Ibn Hanbal, O Ibn Hanbal, you are in your 70s, 80s, you are an old man now, and you are still learning ilm? Until when, O Ibn Hanbal, for how long are you going to continue learning ilm?
So he said, Ma'al mishbarati ilal makhbarati. I will walk around with this ink pot until I reach my grave. This is because they valued ilm. They valued knowledge. For one hadith, they would travel a distance of 1 month. It used to take them 1 month to travel. Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala would travel a distance of 1 month. It took him 1 month to reach Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He knocked on the door of Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu and he said, I have come to hear from you the hadith that you had heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this was a hadith which Jabir ibn Abdullah had heard from somebody. But in the chain of narration, this one person was between him and the person who had heard it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Madinah Munawwara, when Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu heard this hadith from somebody who had heard it from Abdullah ibn Unais radiyallahu anhu, he traveled a distance of 1 month. And he said, oh Abdullah ibn Unais. He knocked at the door. So Abdullah ibn Unais was in his home. He said, who is at the door? He said, Jabir. So Abdullah ibn Unais said, Jabir, the son of Abdullah, because they had not met for a very long time and they were companions in living together in Medina. He said, Jabir, the son of Abdullah. So Jabir ibn Abdullah said, yes, Jabir, the son of Abdullah. So Abdullah ibn Unais came rushing to the door and he opened the door and they met each other. And he said, please come inside. So he said, I have come with a purpose and objective. He did not go inside. I have come with a purpose and objective. And that is that somebody has narrated this hadith to me. And he said that you have narrated this hadith to him. And you have heard it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I have traveled from Madinah Munawwara to listen to this hadith. Can you please narrate this to me? Because I want to hear it from your mouth. So Abdullah ibn Unais radiyallahu ta'ala narrated the hadith. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu turned his camel towards Madinah Munawwara and he started moving. So Abdullah ibn Unais said, hold on, we've met after so many months. Come inside, let's sit down for a while. So he said, no, I have no time. There are so many important things to do. I have traveled only from Madinah Munawwara to listen to this one hadith from your blessed mouth. Let us create this zeal. Why should there be a need for somebody to pressurize us that learn this sabak, learn this sabak, learn this sabak? Why? This is the ilm that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who acquire ilm are very, very fortunate, my friends. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, he came into the Masjid Nabawi. And we the Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmeen were sat together listening to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَارِئٌ يَقْرَوْ عَلَيْنَا. A Qari was reciting the Quran and we were all listening very carefully. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he stood amongst us and he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, because of adab, the Qari, the reciter became quiet. We all became quiet. We said, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He said, Mada kuntum tasnaun? What were you doing? So they said, Kunna nasma'u ila kitabillah. We were listening to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were learning and teaching. Kunna nasma'u ila kitabillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with them. He sat down with them. And he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala min ummati man umirtu an asbira nafsi ma'ahum. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his every second is very valuable. He was sitting in his home and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go in the masjid and sit with that group that is sitting in the Masjid Nabawi. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he wanted to know why Allah has instructed him to sit with this group. So for this reason he asked that, what were you doing? So they said, we were engaged in learning and teaching the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with him and he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi, all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ja'ala min ummati, who has created, who has made from my ummah such valuable people. Such valuable people, man umirtu an asbira nafsi ma'ahum, with whom I have been ordered to come and sit. Ilm is very, very great, my friends. Ilm is very, very great. Ilm is very, very great. Those of you who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to engage in acquiring this ilm of Sharia, ilm of Nubuwwah, ilm of Quran, ilm of Hadith, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make the most out of it. Try to acquire as much ilm as possible. Exert everything that you have. And tarbiyah as well. Whatever you learn, you need to practice. And where you have weakness, you must talk to your teachers. You must talk to the head teacher. You must talk to the principal. Talk to somebody else who may be able to help you. You must purify yourself. Before that moment comes when you have to depart from this world and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those of us who are engaged in other activities, we must also take out time. Read books written by authentic reliable ulama under the supervision and guidance of those ulama who are known to be reliable and authentic, who we know to be God-fearing. Sit in their company, sit in their durus, come in their majalis and try to learn as much as possible. The more you learn, the more you sit with the ulama, the more you read their books, the more your knowledge of deen increases. And the more that knowledge of deen increases, the more you will be able to practice. So the more complete a believer you will become. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.